Wizard Magazine, Marvel versus DC. I don't wanna fight no more, y'all. Check this out right here.
Hey everybody, welcome to Pittsburgh Comic Podcast number 304, and Dave just really creeped us out. Wanted to throw that out there. We're all a little stunned.
To be fair, you didn't tell him that he had to wear pants for the podcast.
No. As you know, Dave normally is missing these podcasts around this time, or he used to in a prior job. He would miss the podcast around Christmas, so we just naturally assumed Dave was Santa Claus. I think it was a very logical conclusion to reach.
Of course.
Dave just mentioned now that he knows when we're sleeping and he knows when we're awake, and we all just kind of went, that's really kind of creepy, man. So.
I believe his exact words were, he's watching you while you're sleeping. Oh. He's watching you while you're awake.
Yeah, so.
To be fair, it applies to the listeners, too.
So you're creeping them out now, too.
That doesn't make it better.
I'm very sorry that this is happening, people. We will try to.
The number you can call is 1-888.
I would start with 911.
Oh, no. Yeah.
And what are the ones where you actually have to pay for them? 1-900 or whatever?
Yeah. Oh, like you don't know.
1-900 Comic Man?
Worst phone sex ever.
Hello? Who's there? What? What? What am I wearing? What are you talking about?
Bronze Age issues.
You just had the flipping of pages in the background.
You know, somebody would probably pay for that.
Yeah. They probably come here every Wednesday already.
Yeah.
Don't know where to go with that. Okay. So, I'm Colin McMahon, owner of Pittsburgh Comics. Joining me tonight are...
Dave.
Josh.
Spencer.
Pat.
And I'm in Adam's chair, so things are... If you can't hear me, it's because I've been swallowed up. I haven't been feeling well, so I ostracized myself to a far corner of the table. What?
I don't think you want me to repeat that.
Okay, fair enough. Good to know.
Hey, I could have just been like Pat and just said it, and then you have to be editing it out later on.
Beep!
So, you're welcome.
Okay, yeah, there we go.
You get beeped out twice, and all of a sudden...
I think it's been twice. I don't think he's told you all of them.
No.
No, I listen to the podcast.
No.
You listen every week.
Not every week.
Wow. I don't even listen.
I don't. No.
Listen to the beginning and the end.
I have to have... Where I work, it's really, really quiet, so anything that goes on is very distracting.
More than one podcast. This is not the only one out there.
No, I know, but I listen to...
You already know what happened. You know how it ends.
I listen to several other ones, but usually, like, towards the end of the week, you know, because new episodes of the other ones I normally listen to don't come out, so I'm like, all right, fine, I'll listen to this one.
Drop this one. Get another podcast.
Well, it's funny, because I have...
Not recommending for you, the listener. But Pat, he's here.
I have this one pop up on mine, just so I can see when it actually loads.
I have it pop up, but then I always just say hit...
Yeah, I don't have a download, and just yesterday I went through and I was just deleting all the episodes, so... Felt a little bad, but hey.
You're there for most of them, kind of?
Most of them.
I only leave it on, so that way, if I miss one, I'll listen to that one. And so I can see what you actually end up naming the podcast, because sometimes you waffle.
I do. It depends. Sometimes your recommendations, not you specifically, but the group's recommendations just aren't really appropriate.
Those are usually the best ones.
They are, but I got to think about what this is going to look like on Apple as well. So I do have to take that into consideration.
They don't care.
We could probably say whatever we want. I doubt anyone would report us if we did say a bad word for being explicit.
You can say whatever you want, but you should do the little e-tag.
Yeah. Pat, so...
Do you want me to earn the e-tag?
No, I do not. No, that's what I'm saying. So,
Dave, cover your ears.
Ear muffs. Yes.
He's still knowing you're being naughty, though. So
yeah,
it
that's
matter.
True. That's true. Sorry, Pat.
Aww.
So, Pat, was there any news this week?
You said you had some.
I do have some. So, basically, I guess the new people in charge at Marvel are cutting bait.
Freaking Akira.
Yeah, he's gone all samurai on the lower selling tier of titles.
Yeah, wait, how come when I made the joke, it was considered over the top? Are you guys?
No, it was because you said it in a very specific way.
You made fun of the accent
of
a whole region of the world.
Yes.
I was quoting South Park, but okay.
And you thought that was, okay.
So you made fun of the accent through someone else.
Yeah, well.
But I was laughing because I was looking at your sale trades over there, and I picked one up, or I looked at one, and I was like,
it was,
Yoshida.
Yep. There's a Thor trade that he did, yes.
Wow.
I thought it was very funny when it was on the sale list.
So I wonder if you can get him to autograph that and how he would autograph it.
He'd probably give you a look and push it back at you, would be my guess.
Yeah, I know you did that.
Yeah. But, so it was announced that, I guess, because the new previews, the previews that comes out next week, they always drop online a week before. And I guess, at least Bleeding Cool has deduced that 8 or 6 books are canceled. And there's a question mark on another 2. But definitely gone are Hawkeye, Generation X, Gwenpool, Luke Cage, America, and Iceman. And then there's question marks next to Defenders and Champions. I can't say any of these are a surprise. They're all single-digit books for me. I'm not horribly upset. I think they definitely needed to prune their line a little bit. I do feel bad that there are, you know, it's 3 female-centric books, an African-American book, a gay character. So, but I don't think...
Wow, that's... I didn't think about that.
Yeah, so...
2 gay characters. America.
Okay, true. Yeah, I was thinking Iceman, but yeah. So, but I don't think that played into it. I just think the book's just...
Hispanic character.
There wasn't... There wasn't a lot of market for it.
Boxes.
There goes diversity. No, but I don't think it has anything to do with that. I think it just literally...
Writer, Make America Great Again.
It just has to do with the sales...
You gotta give them up. That was pretty good.
That was good. That's our path.
Yep.
But, and also, Tim just told me Royals just had the last issue, and Jean Grey's ending has one more issue, but that's leading into the Phoenix book, which is a little weird because the Phoenix book is next week, so I wonder when the last Jean Grey book is going to be.
Maybe that's an epilogue?
Possibly, yeah, it's not next week. So, yeah, but that's a fairly, that's a healthy swath of books. Getting the axe. I don't want to see any books go away. I just wish they'd launch things better. I do like how DC does it for the most part. Now, I give Marvel far more flack than I do DC. Really? And a lot of their books, a lot of their books come out of left field. But it I find it funny that let me see. I think.
Well, but if you got. If you got 10 Marvel books that you're only selling one copy right. of, that's you got to inventory it. It's taking up shelf space, all that. Where if you got one Marvel book selling 10 copies, that's better for you.
Right. But I'm looking like I have 15 copies of Demon number 2 coming in next week. I blew through 20 copies of Dead Man number 2. So, you know, but these are books I'm selling, I think, like 3 copies of Luke Cage. I sell 1 copy of America. So I guess what I was trying to say is I want them to launch things better, whereas, like, have a book, introduce the character in that book, and then spin them off into their own book when there's some demand. And I know, like, America has been in different books and things, and obviously Iceman and stuff, but it just, I don't know that there was demand for these books. But it's, at the same time, was there demand for a Demon book? Was there demand for a Dead Man book? Not necessarily,
no.
But they did well. They.
But if you, see, with Iceman... You know, the whole X line is tanking at the same time. And, you know, so then to bring a spinoff of an X book for, you know, he's obviously been a long time character. He was part of the original X-Men, but, you know, he's probably not, you know, a tier one X-Men, if you will.
Yeah. Tim. Instead of that, I'm looking at my back.
I mean, I've liked Iceman. He's one of my more favorite X-Men characters, but I didn't pick. Like, I got like the first issue, and was just like, I don't like this.
The logic of the whole thing just, I'm perplexed by it. Like, you have a character that's established. He's been heterosexual his whole life, and all of a sudden, the earlier version of me from a different timeline is gay. That must mean I must be gay. I don't know that it works that way.
Especially when they're not even 100% sure now if they're even from their timeline. They might be from another timeline.
Which, that breaks their own logic, because there was at one point where Cyclops died, and then the old one started to disappear. So, yeah. Come on. Get it together.
The one I'm surprised about that is the Defenders, though. I figured they would try to keep the Defenders going, but maybe with...
Bendis book, yeah.
I figured there was a tie-in for the TV show. Well, that's why the TV show's gone.
Yeah. But I think that would be good, other than having, like, a Luke Cage and, like, an Iron Fist, like, series and stuff like that. Just put them all together and give them their own book instead of having that plus their own solo series, which...
How does Iron Fist do for you?
Not great.
Not great?
Yeah.
Because I'm wondering if that's a book where you combine, you know, you do a Heroes for Hire book and combine Luke Cage and, you know, Iron Fist. And, you know, Jessica Jones can obviously be part of that since she's married to Luke Cage. And, you know, Daredevil holds his own book. You don't put him in it, but, you know, the other three. But that also leaves, you know, for, like, you know, Colleen Wing or... Yeah.
And if they are doing good enough, you can always give them, like, a miniseries down the line or something and see how it goes from there.
I just texted you, too.
But, yeah, that's, I mean, it's not surprising. He wasn't brought in to not do anything, you know? It wasn't like the ship was sailing smooth. He was brought in to shake some things up.
But do you have any idea, like, how many books Marvel is currently putting out, like, roughly putting out, like, a month?
No, it was around 90, so it's not a big percentage of their books.
And it's not like they're kind of like canceling like X-Men Gold or Blue or Amazing Spider-Man or even Spider-Man.
They're
or something
even adding
like
a new X-Men, X-Men Red.
Yeah,
to them.
Well,
it's feeling like Pokemon.
Got to catch them all.
Just. Yeah, X-Men Blue Gold,
X-Men Sun, X-Men Moon.
Yeah. But there's, like, what, 4 Star Wars books that are thrown into that 90?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know...
If not, I'm just thinking about, like, the monthly sales chart when they compare Marvel and DC. I know they're normally a good bit.
But if you kind of take out Marvel's sidelines and just deal with mainline Marvel versus mainline DC, I got to imagine they're closer in number.
Yeah, because DC has all those different... like the Flintstones and like the Hanna-Barbera and all, they got a whole bunch of different stuff going on now.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So, no.
No, just responding to a customer.
Well, I assume we're going to want to talk about Star Wars.
Sure. Everybody see it?
We should wait till
10. No, that's
true.
We'll wait. Why don't we do that last?
Sure.
That way we get to the books.
Yeah, that's part of the reason Adam didn't come is because he hadn't seen it.
No, I haven't seen it, but I'm not that worried about it.
What?
Well, no, we can wait then.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not. It's
are
not
you
that big of a...
Are you planning on seeing it?
Yeah, probably the like a week
then
or
work
so.
At home. I don't want to spoil anything for you. Yeah. Even if you don't care that much,
shouldn't
I don't want to spoil
it.
Yeah, because if he finds out about the Jar Jar cameo, that would really blow the whole movie. So.
I didn't expect Jar Jar and Darth Maul to be a couple.
Yeah, I know. I know.
That threw me off.
Yeah. It's a modern Marvel.
All the hints were there, Josh.
Yeah.
Is that what that,
the double-sided saber?
I think Requiem for a dream.
That's a podcast.
If you couldn't hear it, Tim said, and that's a podcast. So, I appreciate that, Tim. I did watch Punisher, but it's probably too late to talk about that. I guess we never did talk about that.
Yeah, or Justice League, or... Thor.
Enough people are talking about this stuff. Oh, Spencer, give me your garbage. We have a garbage box here. Sorry.
So, what'd you read, Colin?
I read a lot of books last week. I didn't read anything this week. It was just a busy weekend.
Well, some of your books last week.
Yeah,
so
you said that...
Right. No. I have lots to talk about. I just didn't... Yeah.
Okay, apparently you didn't get the segue.
I got
Colin,
it. I
it's
got
your
it.
Turn. What do you read?
I understand. And I'm sure nobody else read any of the... Well, one book nobody else read. So I'll read this one. I'll talk about this one first. Giants. I think one of the things I talked about last week was how the different art styles were really fascinating. And this was one of the books, Giants, which is from Dark Horse. And it was by these two, I want to say it was either Spanish or Portuguese brothers that somebody discovered, and they did this book. And it was very fascinating. It was,
are they really Portuguese, or are they like American? And
no, they're, it's definitely a very European style to the art. And it's...
Just want to make sure it's not like the Yoshida factor.
No. Well, not that I know of. But basically, these giants have come and taken over Earth and forced humanity underground. And there is this mineral that is like used almost as currency. And there's different gangs. And these two young kids are basically like scavengers. And they break into this place to steal this. I forget what the name of the metal is. But it's this, steal this mineral.
Unobtainium?
What? It was not unobtainium. No. I would have remembered that.
Batmanium?
It was not Batmanium. And they hear a rumor that up on the surface there's all this stuff. So they're like, well, we kind of have nothing to lose. You know, we're just, you know, just like little, you know, rat kids. You know, they just live in the...
Down in Fraggle Rock.
Yeah. So they go up on the surface to get some, and they find all this stuff. They're like, oh my gosh, you know, we're going to be, you know, rich down below. And, of course, then one of these giant creatures comes and attacks, and it looks like it gets the one, and the other one kind of falls down this cavern as this other one looks at him, and that's how it ended. But it was very interesting, and the art style was very, very different. Like I said, European, but neat, very, very neat. The next one I read was Monstro Mechanica. This is a new one from Aftershock.
I read that too,
Colin. Oh, cool. And this, again, so just talking the art style, this is very, very clean, but really, really well done art.
Yeah, I really like the art, yeah.
You could tell on a couple pages that it would probably was digital, just the way some of the characters were posed. It looks like, you know, they could have put it on the page and moved it type of thing. But this was a story, Leonardo da Vinci is, you know, the inventor everybody knows, and he has created this wooden robot, I guess, for better word, who was kind of his protector as he was out and he was attacked, and all of a sudden this thing came and protected him. And his assistant is in charge of wiping its memory after each kind of mission or day so it doesn't learn. And then...
But Da Vinci doesn't know that she's doing this.
Right. Well, she's not wiping its memory.
Right.
So he doesn't know that, right. But he's also... The families in power are trying to get his favor to do things, and he's basically... offering his services to the highest bidder, and she's kind of letting this thing learn to kind of as a way to keep him in check should he go too evil, because he has all this, you know, he has all these great ideas, but they can be used for very bad purposes. Well, there was this one thing he made which was almost like a cannon battery set up on this one thing, and it like wiped out this forest, just blew all the trees as he tested it. And it's like you could tell that probably scared her a little bit. But it was really, I thought it was really, really good, you know, being one of those historical fiction type things, but I enjoyed it very, very much.
Yeah, it's interesting, the relationship between him and his apprentice, Isabel,
and like,
they don't trust each other at all.
No, and like, she dresses as a boy,
and
is criticized for that, and she just steals stuff for no reason.
Yeah.
At one point, she steals an apple, and ends up dropping the bag of groceries she had paid for, and then it shows her, like, in an alleyway taking a bite of the apple and just throwing it away, and it's almost like she stole it just as a thing to do.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was different.
Yeah, it was really good. I liked it.
Yeah. The next one I know Pat read, Judas Number One.
Yeah, it was interesting.
Basically, it's telling the story of Judas, and it's giving you, I think it's going to give you a little bit of context why he did what he did. But it basically ends with him almost down in hell, being attacked by all these creature-type people.
Yeah, one of the things I found really interesting...
Now, this one had a really weird art style, too.
Yeah,
this was far more abstract style art.
It very much portrays him as lacking free will, that no matter... He was born to betray Jesus no matter what, which is, you know, kind of... ironic in that, you know, in a religion based on free will, he never had any. you know, some of the other portrayals of him are more sympathetic, and that, you know, Jesus kind of told him to do it, you know, because he knew, but they haven't gotten there yet. I'm curious to see where they're going to take this.
Bye, Tim.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. He's not leaving. Yeah. You sticking around for the podcast? Okay. You want to say that's a podcast for real at the end? No? Okay.
You want to record it on my phone?
And then we'll I'll say it later. Yeah.
Yeah, but I liked it.
Yeah, no, I thought it was very interesting and really neat, different. Far more of like an Archaea book than a Boom book. And I don't know if that makes sense to you guys. Archaea was its own company. It did, it was Mouse Guard, more of the kind of artsy type books. So it definitely seems more of that branch of the Boom family.
Yeah, it didn't seem like your typical Boom.
Yeah. And then Action 993, which was the first post Mr. Oz one, where at the end of the Oz storyline, Superman got on the cosmic treadmill and went to go back in time to before Krypton exploded to try to stop his dad.
But something went wrong.
Right, and then so and Booster arrived just too late. Well, Booster gets back to where he needs to be. Kal-El is at Krypton before it's blown up. Maybe. It seemed that things were happening differently.
Like things may have changed.
Right. Yeah. Because all of a sudden, Jor-El is in, I don't know, cahoots? But
we're friends.
Yeah.
A little bromance.
Right.
With General Zod.
Yeah. So things are a little bit different. And
I don't think that's too different, though, than other, not necessarily in the comics, but other portrayals have had.
Yeah, but this,
they weren't warring with each
this
other.
This made it appear as though like things didn't happen, like the crisis didn't happen.
Mm.
To me, that's how I took it. Because it looked like he got there like just as it was about to explode, and then suddenly things like shifted.
Yeah.
So I didn't take it as him like then going further back in time.
Right. So, but then all of a sudden he realizes that Booster's like, no, you got to stay out of sight. They can't see you. And then the guards start shooting at him. But
immediately after.
He doesn't realize that he doesn't have powers because this is a red sun.
Red sun.
So I think I've asked this before, but the red sun, it actively impacts his powers. It's not just his. I guess I always took it as he gets his powers from the yellow sun. Not that the red sun will actively diminish his powers.
But it's just the lack absence of a yellow sun.
But his cells would have still had radiation in there. Like, yeah. It just happened.
See, I always thought the red sun, that it was almost kind of like a kryptonite kind of thing to where it took, not make him weak, but, like, will, like, negate.
I didn't think the red sun had an impact. It was just the lack of a yellow sun as well.
But I think it's also the composition of the planet Krypton itself. Because kryptonite is fragments of Krypton.
I take it as almost like kryptonite is a uranium on Krypton. You know, it's not something that's pervasive all over the, you know.
No, but it would still be there.
But, like, he wasn't showing the other effects of kryptonite, of actually feeling, you know, ill and weak.
No. Well, but he didn't have his power, so there was some weakness.
But, I mean, you know, like, he didn't look like he had the flu, essentially, which is how it normally is portrayed where kryptonite is around.
Bye, Tim.
Bye, Tim.
That's all. I was just surprised that quickly he would not have his powers. Because they go to other places. They go to Apocalypse. He has his powers. They go to in space, the depths of space.
Hi, Tim. Oh, welcome back. Already.
Well, maybe Apocalypse has a yellow sun.
Just seems like every time he leaves Earth, he still has his powers, except for this time.
There's, you know, if he goes to Mars, he's further away from the yellow sun. What does that do? If he goes, you know, the further away from a yellow star he gets. But there are other yellow stars out there, so.
I know.
Purple horseshoes, green clovers.
Blue moons. And then
my challenge to listeners, if you know definitively whether
what all
the
Lucky Charms are? Oh.
Whether the red sun actively depowers Kryptonians, please send Colin a Twitter message, and he will pass the message on to me.
Will do. And then the last one I read was Mr. Miracle.
Mr. Miracle was awesome.
Yes. You know what I really liked about this issue? Just completely take the costumes off, and it's a couple. And
they did take the costumes off.
No, but I mean,
literally, it's like there was a lot of sexy time in here.
Forget about the costumes. Your husband has a day left on this planet. That's what I expect it to look like. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of sexy time in this.
Yeah.
I liked how they changed it, like, almost like ink drops to obscure parts of Big Barda.
I liked that they kind of had Stan Lee in there. Mm-hmm. As
Funky Flashman or whatever.
A bit of a douche.
Well, at least didn't call him a true believer.
But yeah, I sadly I don't remember Jack any specifics. Kirby, I just remember it being fantastic.
There? Well, Kirby makes sense.
But does Kirby exist in the DC universe though?
I mean, they do have comics and stuff, so.
Yeah, but I didn't know if Jack Kirby himself existed in
they DC do have universe. Mr. Miracle comics, in fact.
That's true. So I guess Jack Kirby could have written those Mr. Miracle comics.
Yeah.
But it was great. It was a good, like, touching issue between, like Pat said,
sounds this like a man, lot of touching.
This man and his wife, on his last day on Earth, his last day living.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
And to see her, you know, kind of make a 180, saying that, that this is a choice he has to make for himself on what he's how he's going to handle it or what he wants to do. And then finally, at the end, just deciding for him almost, and just saying, "You know, I'm not letting them take you, and I'm going to smash their skulls in."
Which, that's kind of a Barda thing to do anyway. You know, you kind of figured it was going to go that way the whole time. So, but no, I still have no idea where this series is going to end up, and I think that's probably the best part about
it.
I know
it's going to end up on an Eisner nominee list.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and I heard really good things about the Batman that came out today. I didn't have a chance to read it.
Double D?
Yeah.
Tom King's just killing it.
Mm-hmm. He is. So that's all I got. That's all I read. I apologize. I had a lot more in my list.
Apologize?
I apologize. My wife was out of town all last week, so I was just kind of out of sorts, running the kids everywhere and all that fun stuff. So that's all I got. Spencer! We're going exactly. I was thinking we make like a Christmas star for Dave.
That's not a Christmas star. That's a Hanukkah star.
5 points.
That's
five of us.
Yeah, but you're going upside down, isn't that like more Satan?
Yeah, it's like no. Pentagram.
It's the Star of Colin.
Put it on top of the Festivus pole.
That's way too complicated.
Star, it's how you make a star.
I know how you make a star. Go ahead, Spencer.
If you put a circle on it, isn't that a pentagram?
That's Colin. That's Spencer.
That's Dave. That's Pat. That's Josh.
Yeah. When our powers combine, we form Captain Comics.
Form of ice cubes.
We're the comic tears, and you can be one too. Because talking about comics is the thing to do.
Don't let her, I'll turn you into a
tree. Oh man, I'm sensing a new theme song for the podcast.
If you'll record
move
it
over,
yeah,
Adam Warren.
Yeah, we can do that. You need to record, I need a little more. I need about 15 seconds. So.
All right. We'll take.
I'm sorry, man. Something was going on, and we had like 20 like ambulances and stuff came flying by. I was like, wow, something's going on.
Taco Bell.
Hear it a lot clearer now with nothing obstructing our sound.
So I guess
yeah.
Sorry.
Flash.
I read Flash.
Pretty good. We found out who was actually murdered. It was
Turbine.
Turbine, who was in the New 52.
Yeah, whenever Flash.
Oh, I read that.
Was trapped in the Speed Force.
And we get to with it being in Iron Heights. Flash went to go talk to his old buddy August Hart.
August Hart, yeah.
AKA Godspeed, to see if he knew anything that was going on. And it turns out that Trickster took the blame. He didn't necessarily do it, but he took the blame for doing it and got sent in the hole for like a month, which is apparently a fun time in any prison, but in but in Iron Heights,
you weren't sure.
Some people like to be alone, maybe, you know? I know if I was in prison, I would want to be alone.
If you're in prison, you don't want to go in the hole. Pat, did you have something you want to say?
Yes, I do, but I'm not going to say it.
Merry Christmas.
Bah humbug.
Scott Dave.
But I guess the big reveal of this issue is that the Rogues actually have their secret bases underneath Iron Heights, and they're basically running the criminal underworld from underneath prison, which I thought was a pretty cool idea. And Howard Porter was doing the art on this issue. I like any time he gets to do that.
His art's fantastic.
Yeah. I liked him ever since the J.L. run with Morrison. What else? Detective Comics.
I read Detective Comics. I did not like the art in this issue.
No.
Okay. The way they're drawing, especially like Tim Drake and Stephanie Brown's like expressions when they're talking, really like distracted me.
Well, like that first couple, that first page when I had those close-ups on Tim's face where he was like kind of asleep, I was like, "What? Wait, what am I reading here for a second?" Like,
yeah, it was not flattering.
Nothing that really happened too much, if I remember correctly, in this.
No, like Tim is trying to set things up so that way, essentially, he controls the whole city infrastructure.
Yeah.
So he wants to bring like Batgirl into the fold and start to route all police calls through Oracle, and then have Oracle just, which he calls it Oracle, but it's not. I guess their computer systems refer to as Oracle.
I think so. Yeah, I think that's what it is.
And have that like route.
That's probably something with like the Birds of Prey book.
Yeah, have that route like non-emergency things to the police. But have the Bat family take care of, like, the, you know, actual, like, violent crimes and things that are dangerous. He wants to, you know, create, like, these Bat ambulance, you know, things, and essentially just take over, you know, operation of the whole city, which kind of leads to what we saw in this future. And we find out that he reached out to Batwoman's father, and he tells her about it, saying that this kid's getting kind of out of control, and people are scared that the Bat family is starting to overstep its boundaries and take over every aspect of their lives, and setting up for this possible conflict between him and Batwoman.
Do you think they're going to eventually get around to curing Clayface, or you think that's going to be something that, you know, they talk about and then, like, at the end, he'll probably end up not doing it? Or
no, I don't think they're going
to
do it.
I don't think they're going to do it. If they do cure him, something's going to happen to revert. Or the cure's going to go horribly wrong.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll find out that doctor is up to something else.
I was thinking something would happen. They'd have enough for, like, one thing, and he'll give it to the
chick.
Yeah,
but she didn't want it.
Yeah, but he'd still, you know.
So, did you realize, and maybe they had this in a prior issue, and I missed it, that doctor's transgendered?
I did not realize that until this issue.
Okay.
Yeah.
What I forgot, for some reason I was thinking that doctor was
I thought Leslie Tompkins. I did too, yeah.
And when they did, I was like, oh man, they're changing Leslie Tompkins around completely. And then he said her name, and I was like, oh, that's right, that is a different doctor.
Yeah. No, I was thinking the same thing. I'm like, since when did that happen?
Titans?
Yeah, I read Titans.
This is kind of like the end of like the big like story that they've been kind of working, like, the 18th issue or something like that. So this is, like, what they've been working on for the better part of, like, almost 2 years. So I'm interested to see where it, where we're going to head after this. I hope it, I don't want to say get better, but it just kind of, like, this story seemed kind of dragging these last past couple issues.
Yeah, this arc wasn't great. Like, parts were fine, but then other parts just kind of felt slow. Like, all the stuff with, like, Bumblebee's memories and things with, like, Mal and whatnot, that was not that interesting to me. I do want them to just resolve this whole Wally West heart issue.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, they never, like, you know, either Wally brought him back, but they didn't really, do yeah. anything else about, like, if he still has that condition
yeah,
or not.
Yeah, because essentially, like, he just went into a coma. He, his heart just kind of, like, blue screened, essentially.
Well, you'd think the Speed Force would heal that. Eventually, I mean,
it seems like it's giving it, like, it gives him more powers.
Yeah. If he literally, like, stopped time and or mini time traveled a couple times, yeah. So.
I don't know, I just want to resolve it. I'm tired of the whole, like, back for, like, is he gonna die? He can't overexert himself. Oh, he died! Oh, he's back!
Because, I mean, it has a really good team on it. The art on it, always looks really good.
It does.
You got a good writer on it that, you know, it's not necessarily that the writing's bad, it's just, like, the story's kind of going nowhere. They're taking forever to kind of, so, maybe, hopefully, they're bringing some, maybe, more, like, old-school Titan villains or something like that. I don't know. My Titans history isn't the strongest, so...
Yeah.
But I'm hoping that this...
Just watch Teen Titans Go. Mother May I and, you know, Control Freak.
Dr. Light?
Yeah.
Though I don't know what Dr. Light is now in the whole continuity. Like, is he still alive?
I feel like Dr. Light was recently in something. I can't remember what it was, though. I can't remember. I remember Dr. Light being mentioned in something recently.
Amazing Spider-Man. It was the second part of the Venom Inc.
I didn't read it. I had it, but then I had to sell it.
This is it's most
chose to sell it.
Well, yeah.
Me
having a copy to read is trumped by someone wanting to buy that copy.
So. Well, yeah, I mean, it's good that you're selling out of something, I guess.
Yep.
But this issue's mostly just, Flash as anti-Venom, Agent Venom, or whatever they're calling him now, and Peter...
Anti-Venom, yes.
Is, well, I wasn't sure, because he was Agent Venom before, so I don't know if he would be anti-Agent Venom, anti-Venom, some new name. But, him and, Spider-Man are, it's mostly them teaming up this issue... Spider-Man takes him back to Mockingbird's apartment because they kind of need a place to kind of lay low for a little bit to try to come up with a plan. And my only problem with this is, at this point, they still haven't had, like, Flash Thompson figure out or Spider-Man tell him yet that Peter Parker and Spider-Man's the same person. Which I think is kind of stupid because I don't think he'd really make a big deal out of it. Flash has been a part of the superhero community for a while now, and I don't think you'd have to worry about him going around and, you know, blabbing to other people, but Stigma on it, so, you know, it looked nice, and I guess, I forgot to, maybe we could have brought this up for the news, but it seems like, Dan Scott is, might be ending his run on Spider-Man here soon.
I did hear that.
Yeah, I heard it, but I didn't see anything that was like...
Yeah, I think, like, the next story arc is supposed to be the final story arc with, like, the Goblin or something, so... I don't know.
The Red Goblin or...
Something like that, yeah. So we might be heading towards the end of his multi-year run here soon, but I guess we'll see where that goes. And X-Men Blue. This picks
yes,
up...
it did.
Wow.
Colin was getting a little blue there.
His wife was out of town for a week.
Well,
I was too far. I'm sorry.
I was just talking about, like, his comedy.
As soon as I said it, I felt too wind. Sorry.
But, so anyway, in X-Men Blue...
I remember, I didn't say it.
That it picks up where it did last issue with them being in the year 2099, dealing with those X-Men, and it's more like them just running away from the police from that time period, and apparently the young X-Men have caused something with this company that is behind the main police force against mutants, so I guess that's probably going to be a future storyline coming up. But by the end of this issue, their time travel device gets fixed and they end up in the Generation X time period. So that's what I get. It seems like these next couple issues are just going to be hopping around to different kind of not popular, I guess, time periods of the X-Men. So, but it was an alright issue. Decent odd. Okay story. And that just about does it.
All right, following your diagram, Dave's next.
My pentagram. Is that what you're trying to say?
Diagram.
I read Jughead, The Hunger, number 2.
How was that, Dave?
I enjoyed it. It's not on the level of...
A little bit of a pause there before you said I enjoyed
it.
Well, that is to say, you know, it's not on the level of Afterlife or Sabrina. I know.
The books that don't come out. It's not as good as books that don't come out. That is not a ringing
but at
endorsement.
Least, well, no. I'm talking about the creative aspects of the book.
Okay.
But
such as it was created.
I mean,
and
those books are being created.
But they're building their own mythology with this book, and it's pretty good.
Slowly.
I was going to say, it's not tied in with the other ones, but I guess it can't be, because Jughead can't be a zombie and a werewolf.
No, this
zombie
is
zombie werewolf.
Zombies are hungry too, man.
Yeah. There's be a werewolf that wants brains.
Reggie's a werewolf too, because this, after Jughead bit him in a previous issue, and this issue starts with Reggie attacking Mr. Weatherby in his office.
Werewolves of Riverdale.
And Archie and Betty and Betty's cousin Bo, the werewolf hunter, are on the trail of Jughead, who was at the circus, but he killed somebody, this girl at the circus, and now he's on the run and left the circus. And cousin Bo is showing Archie how to use guns and all different kinds of weapons so he can shoot his best friend with a silver bullet someday. Which, I don't know if that's ever going to happen. We'll see.
No, they'll just stop making it before it actually gets to end properly.
So now they go to the circus. They find out he's there. And now everybody at the circus wants to join in the hunt for Jughead.
So everybody knows Jughead is a werewolf.
Yeah, because Betty comes from a long line of werewolf hunters. And they've been on the trail of the Jones family for...
Yeah, but I can't believe they just put their business out like that. Like, hey, y'all know Jughead? Yeah, he's a werewolf.
Well, Betty was keeping it on the down low.
Well, I was going to say, I would think she would need to keep her occupation.
The kids that said that are adults now?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not... I'm old. I'm not into all your groovy...
Our Facebooky pages.
Your Facebook pages and your Twitter and all that stuff. And this ends with Jughead at a convenience store, and he's trying to keep a low profile, but the convenience store guy calls the cops on him. But he is saved by another werewolf who turns out to be Jughead's cousin Bingo, who is from, you know, the classic Archie stories, and he has a lot to tell Jughead. So,
Something for like the Black Hood to show up or something like that.
Anything can happen. This is a whole new universe of Archie stories. So it's good. I'm enjoying it. Next, Daredevil, 596.
Second part of Mayor Kingpin?
Mayor Fisk, yeah.
Oh, second. That's right, sorry. They wouldn't call him Mayor Kingpin. That's crazy. What was I thinking?
Should be Mayor Kingpin, though.
Well, but he's not Kingpin. You can't prove that.
Well, that's true. Daredevil knows, and he broke into Mayor Fisk's office to confront him. But, so this issue is Daredevil on the run. On the rooftops, and now Mayor Fisk has the entire New York City Police Department behind him to chase Daredevil.
already had most of them on the payroll. So.
That's true.
I just remember that scene at the end of, what, season one, when they were taking him away to prison, and all of a sudden...
Oh, that was a good season. Hoopy's back as the main villain.
So he's running on the rooftops, trying to get away, because he can be branded a criminal now. In the public's eyes, now that Fisk is mayor. But Blind Spot, he has enough time to call Blind Spot on his phone.
Okay.
To get some help out of the situation. And back at the office, they want Matt to work on an indictment for Daredevil.
Oh, don't they know?
But it ends with a good cliffhanger, because he gets a call from... Matt gets a call from Kingpin, from Mayor Fisk.
What?
Asking him to be his deputy mayor.
What? Oh,
man. I was going to say chief of staff. So, yeah, didn't even read it.
Because Matt has such a... He's so well-regarded now that he won that Supreme Court case a few issues ago. And, of course, Matt says, sign me up.
Keep an eye on him.
I did read it's going. He's going. There. It sounds like Daredevil's going to get a new writer.
Oh, really?
He's the co-writer, Christos Gage.
Sorry, yeah. Sorry, listeners. That was not intentional.
Is going to come on with issue 600.
Okay.
Which
he's written some Spider-Man stuff.
He wrote a lot.
He did whenever Dan's not doing anything, he's kind of like the fill-in guy or the miniseries tie-in guy.
Yeah.
Isn't he writing Ninja K?
He might
this is the old stuff. Yeah, this is
I think that's Christos Gage. He did a lot of co-writing on Spider-Man.
I think you're right.
They're just kind of goofy and silly, not psychotic. Gotcha. Yeah, that was the best.
That. Keep talking while I look.
Next,
movie listeners. Last book.
Of course.
Christos Gage.
Okay.
Ninja K. First issue was really good.
Next, did anybody read Port of Earth?
I did, but I didn't read the second issue yet, but feel free to talk about it.
Okay, I won't. There's nothing really, I don't think there's any spoilers here.
You can throw on.
But.
Can
I find out about everything
yeah.
Because they give, this starts with their interview, an interview of the head of this, director of the Earth Security Agency, and they're talking more about...
Lady Drift.
The premise of the book, is that aliens came to Earth with a business deal to build a spaceport on the California coast.
Because water is used as fuel.
It's water.
Yeah.
Well, that does kind of make this the perfect planet, as opposed to the aliens from Signs, which were allergic to water and came here.
Which reminds me, I may remember V.
Yeah.
They stole the water.
Jerks. I just remember that they were lizards.
Oh,
that was great. I like the remake they did of that. Where it had Barrican was Anna. And the woman that played Anna in the original series was her mother. And also
Jane Badler.
Vandervoot. That was Supergirl. Yeah,
Laura.
Yeah, Laura Van. Yeah, she was in it.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
It was good, yeah.
It was a good show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I did like that show.
There's a book too. Just to go off on a tangent too, but there's a comic series from DC. Oh yeah, I bought that. There's a book, V the Second Generation, written by the original guy who did the original miniseries that follows up.
Well, yeah, because there was like two or three movies, and then there was a TV series that ended on a cliffhanger.
But the guy created it, Kenneth Johnson, he did the Incredible Hulk, to bring it back to comics. He did the Incredible Hulk television series, too.
Oh, okay.
But the book follows up on on the first miniseries, because at the end of that, they put out a distress signal for another alien species, and in the book, they come. But in Port of Earth, the only people involved with this deal are the corporations.
Yeah.
So, and all, like, the ACLU and all these other, people, organizations that want to look out for the people of Earth. They're not involved in this at all. So there's an underlying, you know, what's going to happen if you're going to protect the port over the people if anything bad arises. In this issue, there's still, those two agents are going after a rogue alien that escaped from the port because the aliens aren't supposed to leave the spaceport.
Well, and that particular alien never even came in through the port.
Okay.
Because in the first issue, they say right. They never had one of those aliens.
Okay. Right. But I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it. There's.
Seems like an interesting theory.
It's a good premise. It's a good premise for a series. We'll see where it goes. Lastly, I'll talk about Scooby Apocalypse. I haven't talked about this.
I didn't know it was still running.
But it's still going. It's still going strong. Scooby Apocalypse number 20. This is the Christmas issue. In that, it takes place on Christmas Eve. And they are in Wisconsin looking for the secret lab that Velma's four brothers used. So Velma and Shaggy are in there trying to figure out, find these people in there who hopefully they haven't been affected by the nanovirus. And they also have two people have joined the group here. Cliffy, this kid who was adopted by Scrappy Doo and the Scrappy Gang previously in the series, and Daisy, who is Velma's sister-in-law, who married her brother Rufus, who's now deceased. They seem to go over, you know, a lot of this. There's a lot of talking in this issue. Not too much happened. A lot of character work, but it seems it ends with Velma announcing there's no cure for the virus that they've been seeking to find. So it seems they're getting a lot of mileage out of the premise. I'm enjoying it, and there's a backup feature of Secret Squirrel.
That shouldn't be a backup in Scooby Apocalypse.
Yeah, which is. It's not cartoony at all. It's like a real squirrel.
Yeah, no, I saw the it is it it's Porter Art, isn't it?
I think this was done by Howard Chaykin.
Chaykin Art.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, because they had posted some of that a few months ago, and yeah, it looks like a real squirrel.
Yeah, and this it's only like four or five pages, but in this backup, he goes to find Morocco Mole to try to bring him back into the spy business. And that is all I got.
Okay.
Pat.
Me, yeah. So I actually
did this just so you'd be last.
I'm fine with that.
No, I wasn't. I was just, instead of going in a circle, I said, let's go across the table. So I went to Spencer. Plus, we need to get rid of him so we can talk about Star Wars.
Mm. That's true. The only one that I read we haven't talked about so far is Bloodshot. So this was good.
It wasn't in the book at all.
Right.
No. No, it was really the story of the Rampage character, Uncle Rampage.
And the Scarred Man.
Yeah. We find out that they were brothers and
an abusive father.
Yeah, it looks like Rampage was kind of the slower of the two. I don't know if that's necessarily fair that he was slow, but he definitely was.
He was the
whipping boy for the father. Yes. In one scene, he rips his pants, and the father just goes ape shit over a little tear in his pants.
Yeah,
and it was there was a loose nail or something like that in a barn. But there was,
the other brother, like the scrawnier brother, who I guess is the older brother, decides to, you know, concoct a plan to get rid of the dad, so that way they don't have to deal with him anymore. Sets a fire in the barn, draws the dad in, then, you know, plans to just, like, whack him with a shovel and leave him for dead. But the father managed to still, like, grab on him and throws him into the fire and, you know, burns the kid. And then
the brother.
The Rampage. Other brother, the one that was locked in the basement, or just put in the basement, comes in and just, you know, goes all rampage with a shovel and splits her dad's
face
right in half.
That was brutal. That was pretty brutal for, you know, a non-horror.
It was done really well, but that was tough to read.
Yeah.
Look at that, some of that stuff.
Yeah, but it's kind of interesting because it really didn't move the story along at all, but it was...
It gave some needed context to what was going on with that segment of the main story. Because I kept thinking that the guy, the scarred guy, was going to become Rampage.
Yeah, I did too.
And then to see, like, that he just had seemed to have, like, so much love for his brother when they were kids, but then turned just, like, using his brother then whenever they were older, like, convincing his brother to come along, they're going to use him for this experiment, shoots him with, you know, trank darts.
Yeah. I don't know, though, it's not that he doesn't love his brother.
He might still love him, but he definitely is definitely not a protective.
No, not love anymore. Not as he was. No. Yeah, but I really enjoyed that a lot.
It was good. Josh, that's it for you.
You didn't check out. You didn't read Punisher?
I did.
And nothing really.
No one is reading Wonder Woman.
What?
No.
Oh. No. What did he talk about?
No, I didn't know what book you guys were talking about.
Oh.
So I was looking at those.
So Wonder Woman 36, part 4 of the current arc. So Wonder Woman's pissed in this issue. Like, after she finds out that she's been played by Jason and he's sided with Grail, she decides to take the fight to them, and she's doing pretty well holding her own before they finally, you know, manage to get the upper hand against her. And she's like, she's almost trying to convince Jason at some points, and other points just saying, you know, fine, you're lost. I'll take care of both of you at the same time. And they look like they have her once Darkseid steps in, and Teen Darkseid steps in and starts to overpower her with the Omega beams.
Mm-hmm.
But then, just as it looked like they were about to mess her up, see, he starts to drain some of her life force, and she gets all, like, old and wrinkly.
Mm.
And also, we found out that Jason thought the plan was not to kill these other gods, but to just drain most of their life force.
Okay.
But still leave them alive. And then they're like, well, we didn't expect things to go that way, and... we didn't expect them to die. And so it's like, well, that was maybe the first one, but then every single other one. Because he had that relationship with Hercules, yet he seemed to be fine with the fact that Hercules just got killed.
Okay.
Even though Hercules was his teacher when he was younger. So just as they're about to finish off Wonder Woman, her lawyer shows up.
Woman's lawyer.
The little squirrely dude, Mr. Magoo-looking guy from the beginning of the arc.
Okay.
He was her lawyer. We found out that wasn't her lawyer. That was... Big Daddy Zeus, who was trying to stay out of things and not get involved, but realized that it was not the point where he couldn't stay out of it any longer.
Mm.
So he comes in, and now it is new god versus old god. Zeus versus Darkseid, and Grail and Jason.
Mm.
So it was good. It was a really good issue. I've been enjoying this arc quite a bit.
After all the grief Robinson got, good. Why should they have a guy writing her, you know?
The grief wasn't because a guy was writing her. The grief was because they were playing it up as this arc is going to focus on her brother.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. Sorry. That's right. He couldn't write. Was it him that was going to write that Blade series and he backed away?
No, that was someone else.
Was it? Yeah, it was.
Okay.
I forget who that was, but it was a white guy, and they were like, oh, no, a white guy can't write.
Was it Charles Soule?
Yeah, that's who it was. Yeah.
Was it?
It was Charles Soule.
Sure. Okay.
Pretty sure it was Charles Soule.
Yep, white guy can't write a black,
yeah,
you know, black female teenager.
Yeah. So you finally just backed away from it. The only other one I think I want to talk about is Rural City. Dave, were you reading that?
Oh, I read Rural City, yeah. Yeah,
yeah, so this is the third part of the second arc where it's kind of going through Tommy's last week alive. Not a whole lot like to really talk about story-wise, but it's a really good, like, kind of, you know, touching a book, especially like getting his internal monologue, find out what's going on with the rest of the family. You find out that Tara is pregnant, the sister, which I don't know if we knew that they had, like, that she was pregnant at one point in time when she was younger from the first arc.
I don't think we did.
And is she dating, like, her future husband yet in this? I know we saw him at one point last issue, I think. I don't know if they're actually together yet.
Yeah, I don't remember if we saw him or not, honestly.
I was curious. I was just curious if it's wasn't their issue. Kid or if it's a kid of someone else.
Tim Seeley.
Oh, Tim Seeley, okay.
Because, you know, it's not like he's good at writing horror or anything.
Yeah. Your boyfriend is Tim Seeley.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, good call, Spencer. Mm-hmm. He's great at writing horror. And he wrote Revival for all those issues, and that was two female protagonists.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Or Hackslash?
I haven't read that, but yeah. Heard it. Yeah. To be fair, Hackslash, the female protagonist, looks like she is very much unclothed for a lot of it.
That's the artist. That's...
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, we find that Tommy's hanging out a lot with Richie. They're closer in age. He's starting to, you know, bring him under his wing a little bit. And he's kind of giving all these, like, peer pressure things. Like, he smokes weed in the car, even though he's not supposed to be doing things like that because of the meds he's on now. And the break in the middle where it was just, like, the sort of, like, prose journal entries that he wrote were kind of neat.
Good.
It's I don't know. This character who you saw in a very unique way in the first arc, because each character in each living character had their own different version of him that they kind of, you know, imagined and talked to. They're doing a really good job of, like, fully fleshing him out as a real, you know, person, a part of this family in this arc, and it really kind of makes you feel for him.
Oh, it's going to be
you know
so
this
sad.
This kid's you know he's dying.
Gonna die,
so.
And it's going to be so sad when that happens.
Yeah.
Just because he just wants,
and he seems so like lost and alone right now. He's surrounded by these people, but he just doesn't want to be around these people. Like, he even says at one point that he has friends, he just doesn't need them.
Yeah, so, right, yeah. Right. That was a great line.
Yeah,
that really made you think.
And everyone just seems like all the whole family just seems kind of depressed in their own ways. Like, everyone's kind of unhappy in their own little ways. I don't know. It's a good book. If you're a fan of Lemire's Essex County, then you should definitely check this out, because this is kind of like the same vein, same story.
Oh yeah, it's definitely returned.
I just found out Jason Fabok just got a award from Essex County.
Really?
For something. So he must live there, which is hilarious. Oh, wow. I mean, it's Essex County is right. I think it's part of Windsor, which is right outside Detroit. So it's not.
Yeah.
But I saw he posted that, came up in his Twitter feed, and I was just like, wow.
That's neat.
Yeah.
Hmm. And that's it for me.
No, you didn't read How Jordan?
I didn't get a chance to read it yet.
Nothing really. I mean, just kind of more.
Yeah.
Just kind of explain those new bad guys and stuff like that.
All right.
We already hit all points of the pentagram.
We hit all the pentagram?
The demon has been summoned.
Okay.
Don't you have to rhyme then?
No, different demon.
Oh. Yeah, geez, come on then. That's next week. Oh, wait, sorry.
What books would the demon enjoy next week?
Well, luckily for the demon. Sorry. What? I wasn't prepared. I'm sorry.
You know what happens if the last person talks to
the books.
I
know. I didn't know you were going to be wrapping up so quick. I was having so much fun coloring the last of the Christmas bags. I'm sorry to hear that, Josh. Okay.
That's how that matters, right?
But next week we have Action Comics number 994. I'm enjoying this storyline, so normally I don't hit just random books, but I'm enjoying Action. Spider-Man.
Is this the first appearance of Booster in Rebirth?
It is, in Rebirth,
aside from the Hanna-Barbera thing?
Yeah.
Amazing Spider-Man 793 is the next part of the Venom storyline. Back to the Future Time Train, which is telling untold stories from the train. Bonehead number one is a new one from Image. I do not know what this one is about. That one doesn't ring a bell at all, and I apologize. A little book coming out next week called Doomsday Clock number 2. I think hopefully some people are going to be excited about that.
It's kind of a niche book, though, isn't it?
It is. The first one did not do well at all. We also have Eternity number 3 for you valiant guys. Yikes. I'm only getting covers A, B, C, and I. Sorry, I'm not getting...
I?
Yeah, I is the pre-order bundle, so I don't know what D through H are. But
I wonder if they just make the pre-order bundle called I across the board to make sure that it's beyond...
Possible.
The,
They just padded. Because C is the one in 20, so yeah, that might have just been padded. Yeah. Which is better than, because one of the banes of my existence is I have one guy who on Vampirella and Red Sonja wants the cosplay covers, which is fine. Except one month it's cover B, the next month it's cover D, the next month it's cover C. So trying to get him a subscription is, I can't set it up in the computer because the computer says, okay, I'll pull him every cover B. Well, it won't do that because it's a different letter. It's maddening. Because every
are these
week,
the ones that are the is the photograph cover?
Yeah, the photo cover.
Maybe the letter is based on the cup size of the model.
It's possible, but I think it's just they don't really pay attention.
I don't think there'll be very many A covers. Then.
He didn't name A.
No, A is always the main cover. So you're right. Eugenic number 3 for Dave. Not just for Dave. I highlighted it because I know it's like
about
that.
One issue.
Hopefully, some other people will buy.
Hawkman Found. So the last of the one. Well, no, not the second to last of the one shots for Metal because we still have the Wild Hunt by Morrison. Oh, if you no, just if you Comics Conspiracy last week had an interview with Snyder. That was really good, but definitely sounds the. Impact of Morrison is having on him with Metal, so it just made me think of
when are you going to have your interview with Snyder?
Yeah, someday.
Didn't he give you his email address?
He did.
And say, hey, Colin?
He did, yeah.
Let's connect?
Yeah, we will.
Come on, Colin, swipe right.
Imaginary Fiends number 2. I know everybody that read, not everybody, but lots of people that read number 1 like number 2.
Who didn't like number 1?
Somebody may have. I don't want to speak for everyone saying everybody enjoyed it. That's a bold statement. I'm not going to make that bold a statement.
Well, do you want to say?
But I thought it was very, very good. So I'm looking forward to number 2. With what was her name? Paula Penny Pound or Pound Cake or not Paula.
Polly.
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But that was good. That was good. Commanding Challenge number 12.
Oh, Paula Peach Pit.
Peach Pit. Thank you, Josh. the last issue of Commanding Challenge comes out next week. That's been a fun one for the year. I'm looking forward. I'm going to read it. I can't keep up with anything like that, but I'll read it as a trade. Nightwing New Order number 5, because I think just about everybody at the table is getting
really
that.
Yes. Yep.
Phoenix Resurrection, Return of Jean Grey. Oh, I'm glad they took the adult out of the title.
Let me ask a quick question.
Yeah.
So back when they did the whole Rebirth initiative, they talked about doing like focusing on like these evergreen books as well. Like the trades. They're still outside the normal universe.
Yeah.
Do you think that these miniseries, that's what they were talking about? Instead of just putting out a trade, like they're just doing like these different miniseries that are standalone, like...
Right, what I think it is I have this great Nightwing story. Well, it doesn't fit in continuity. I don't care.
But I think people thought they were just to be putting out like legit like graphic novels, not...
Oh, I didn't take that. I didn't take that at all. No, because I mean...
they have like this, White Knight,
right,
the Kurt Busiek book.
Right. What
you thought like more like... Earth One kind of style.
Right, yeah. Like right. See, no, I didn't see that because you have to remember the comics basically pay for the production costs and then they make the money on the trade. Where most books that come out as original graphic novels, it takes a while to make their money back because you got to sell a lot of them. Where, you know, you sell 30,000 copies of the comic, you're not going to sell 30,000 copies
of the
trade. So
essentially the comic is priming the pump.
Right. Right.
That's a good... I just made that phrase
it
up.
Is. Look
that's
at you. Priming the pump? Nice. Yeah. I've never heard that before.
You guys can use that.
Yeah. Okay.
Thanks.
Yeah. We'll make it... Let me see if I can make these comics great. Genius. Previews is next week. New previews is next week. Previews order is due next week. It's not due till... I don't even know if it's due Thursday. I think they might be kicking it a little bit. But plan for next Thursday.
Punisher Platoon is next week. Scarlet Strike Force. This is one that's a little bit confusing because I know they fired the writer on this. So I really thought this series was canceled because of that. He went on great things saying he never even gave him the outline, something like that. So I'm just a little surprised this is coming out.
I read that maybe the first three issues are going to come out, but they canceled 4 and 5 or something like that.
What publisher is this?
The IDW. It's a Star. Or it's a G.I. Joe spinoff. Yeah.
Scarlet.
Hmm. Yeah. Spider-Man 2.
I was sure it was like Scarlet Witch or something.
No. Spider-Man number 2, number 5, the last issue of that, is next week. Another ending one of Bendis's books. Star Wars Last Jedi Storms of Crait is giving a little backstory on the planet Crait from the movie. I gave an odd look because it says one of one. Thanks. You could also say one shot. Teen Titans number 15 is part 3 of the Sons of Tomorrow. We got parts 1 and 2 today.
Technically, one of one is more efficient, less characters.
It is. It just reads a little silly. That's all.
I saved ink. Awesome. Saved you ink.
Saved me toner, yes. Mm-hmm. And then Exo Man of War number 10 is coming out next week as well. Now, is that the last issue or is it going 12?
New Arc starts number 11, so it might go beyond 12.
Okay, cool. I didn't know. I just remember somebody saying it was.
Because they were saying number 11 is a brand new jumping on point. So.
Okay.
It's hit, because they put out when it was coming out. It's hit every one of
the days. It has. I have the calendar in my office at work, and it's made every one of those days.
That's pretty good.
So, you know what? I jumped the gun going into that. We did get a question while we were sitting here. We got a podcast question from James that I think is an interesting one.
James is an interesting one.
It is. So, here's his question. Rank these Tom King issues. Batman Elmer Fudd. Batman Annual number 2, Batman 36. And I know, since reading it, I have them in my head where how I'd rank them.
36 was the last issue.
Yeah.
So 36 comes in third for me.
Yeah.
It was good. It was really good. We're talking.
Here's the only reason I'd put it number 2. The voice he got for Superman, I thought he got really, really right.
He did.
And a lot of times writers have trouble. Both sound the same.
He did. He got the voice correct. Yeah. However.
You're right.
Elmer Fudd. He took something that was such a goofy damn idea and made it phenomenal. And then with the annual, man, did he pull at the heartstrings with that. Yeah. Like, it was incredible. Wow.
I like Elmer Fudd. I think more because it was more of a challenge. Because how do you take a concept that is just so outlandish, and not just the concept itself was outlandish, but he added, you know, you had Yosemite Sam in there, and you had, you know, all those, you know, Foghorn.
You're correct. I think Elmer Fudd was more of an achievement, but I walked away feeling more about Annual number 2 than the Elmer Fudd issue.
Yeah, that's fair.
So I'm gonna put put Annual number 2 first, then Elmer Fudd, and then 36. But
Annual 2 is number 1.
For
just
me,
making
yes.
sure. For the table. I agree.
I like Fudd more.
Okay.
Again, just for it. It's such an absurd concept.
We're I hear you there.
Three
I hear
phenomenal
you.
Books.
No, we absolutely
right,
are.
Right, right. But Annual made me laugh. Literally made me laugh out loud.
I'll hide the pencils.
But it also caused a tear to come
the
to the
annual,
eye.
Annual like hit every emotion on the spectrum.
Yeah. Dave,
I just read the Batman Elmer Fudd.
Oh, that well, was, you don't count.
That was
get out of here.
That was fantastic.
Jeez, Dave,
I'm going in about 15 minutes. So,
man.
What about you, Spencer?
I'd have to put Elmer Fudd number 3 because I haven't read it.
No.
I never got around to reading it. So I didn't read
You're
any of those.
You're reading Batman, aren't you?
Yeah.
You need to march your ass in there. And
wait, did you see it?
No, I don't have any.
No, I didn't read any of those, like, Looney Tunes.
Oh,
like,
okay. I think you haven't read any of those.
No.
That one was so good.
That's what I hear. I just never...
So good.
I just never got into it, like I said, like, that whole line of stuff. So I just have to put that as number 3 just... because I haven't read it. I'd probably do Annual number 2 and then 36 number 1.
Okay.
Again, That's a tough. You're picking between three top tier books.
Yeah.
So, just so you know, I'm replying to him because this is on actual Twitter. This wasn't a message, and I said answering on the podcast. But just in case Mr. King is paying attention, Batman Annual number 2, number 1. Batman Elmer Fudd number 2. Batman 36, number 3. However, much disagreement.
Good question, James.
Excellent question.
I have a question for Colin.
Okay.
If someone out there who buys comics on a regular basis, eventually it's the point where they have to prune their collection. Not necessarily like getting rid of, you know, books that would have a high value or anything.
Okay.
Just books that they don't necessarily want to keep, you know, in perpetuity and make room for other stuff. What's the best thing to do with those books? Like, how can someone get rid of those books without just, you know, throwing them away?
He's asking for a friend.
For a friend?
No, that's for me, for honestly. But
I'm interested as well.
Because I honestly look at, like, I have some boxes here. I'm like, I have no idea what to do with these things at this point.
I mean, I buy them. But
here's why. Here's why I won't bring them to you. I know that you'll say yes no matter what.
Right.
And I know you don't always want to say yes, but you do it out of obligation.
But
sometimes.
Also, I have learned over the years to pay what they are worth, or what they are worth to me. Let me put it that way.
Yeah.
I still remember early on, I'd go through and each book was, you know, this one will sell for $3, so I'll offer it, you know. And then after a while, you realize, yes, but I don't need a fourth copy of this, or a tenth copy, or a 20th copy. So it's mostly, you know, I have switched my attitude from that to common and rare.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's a box of commons, it's worth X amount. Any rare ones get priced accordingly, but it's treated like baseball cards. And as I always say to people, this is a box of the 93 Pirates. Nobody wants the 93 Pirates.
Yeah.
So, or, yeah, 93.
Was that the year they went, or they were threatening to go to Tampa?
Maybe, but I'm just saying, whatever. But just, you know, it's you know, books nobody is interested in. So yeah, but I mean, I'll buy anything, but the price is going to be dependent on what's in the box.
So you know, you just what's in the box? The wall now for like,
there's many I could. Several of those boxes right beside there could be used as insulation.
So taking you out of the equation, is there any places that you can think of where they could be donated where it would actually get good use out of them?
That I don't know. I'm sure Goodwill would take them. I don't know what they'd offer.
See, I don't think they would.
Okay, I don't. No, I honestly
I've
have no idea.
I've seen a couple comics, but
I'd
like
maybe call them up, but
they don't.
Know.
They don't buy it. Like it's just a donation.
That's true. That's true. Well, you were saying where you could.
But
donate
yeah, but
them.
I would rather donate them somewhere where they're going to actually get.
Right. I know.
Like if I had more like all ages books, I would donate them to like you know.
Library. Yeah, the problem. Yeah, the
school. Library. No.
Library. No, the libraries won't.
They probably take trades if you had trades.
But I don't have. I'm saying if I have like the kids books. Because
the problem with that is they're so easily they're so fragile.
Yeah. So
that they'd get destroyed, right. They don't want to deal with them.
Well, no, I'm thinking like even a high school because even if they don't have a library, if they have like a graphic program, like graphic design or something like that, or even, you know, if you're
they
teaching
got classes.
Well, if you're teaching literature, you know, there are parallels.
With extra like free comic book day books that I have,
yeah,
I take those into work and I just put them on tables like in computer lab areas and people will pick up and read them.
You have anybody with small children like that are learning how to read? You can just dump them off on them. That's what I.
But you don't
want to
do that with some of the stuff.
I don't know if you
want
to give like Wolverine to a 3-year old.
Yeah, as far as
that,
I don't
know. How to read. Here's Lar Fleas.
I do know there are organizations that like send them overseas to troops and stuff like that. But I don't. Offhand, I don't know.
I looked at that, but it was you mail them to this address. And you're paying shipping. I was like, oh, that's expensive.
That's the problem. Yeah, that's the big problem I have with comics, like on eBay and stuff, is, you know, that's great. You know, you bought 50 books. It's going to cost a fortune to ship
these. Well, and I've thought about just going through, like, bundling things up and just putting them on eBay and just not get a lot, but just to get, you know, something out of them.
You can do it.
It seems like a lot of work.
Not particularly. It's pretty simple. If you just, if you have the eBay app on your phone, you can do it all right on there. A listing, you take a picture, quick description. It's not hard.
No.
That's certainly a route to take. You do have to remember that everybody forgets is eBay, for the most part, is a wholesale source, and nobody's looking to pay top dollar.
Oh, yeah.
And they're like, I had a guy I did have to turn down. He offered me $5 on a Bloodshot Reborn 1 in 50 variant. I'm like, I want to sell it, but not for $5. That's kind of an insult.
Yeah. What? Tom King?
So I responded back to James saying, in case Mr. King is watching, and did it, and liked by Tom King.
Nice.
Sounds cool.
Well, thanks for answering my question.
Oh, you're welcome. Yeah, I mean...
So, now I know worst case.
I think most people know I'm pretty much an open book. I won't, you know... There's no secrets.
I knew I could bring them here and you would buy them.
Yeah.
But I also don't want to just, like... offload stuff to you that I know you're not going to sell or not going to
want. It's May. He's not going to give you.
That's like John brought in 9 boxes of New 52 stuff, and I'm just like, you know, it's great. It's all sorted and bagged and boarded and everything, but who's looking for a full run of Red Lanterns? You know, it's great to have. Not really. So.
Do you pay people more depending on if the books are bagged and boarded or not?
I don't pay more. I certainly appreciate it. I pay more if they're organized, only in the sense of if I'm going through a box and it's kind of a random assortment and I don't know if they're all there, and it's not even a big deal. It's nice. It takes some of my effort out, but I don't necessarily pay more for it.
I was going to take a box to Half Price Books at one point in time.
Do it just for fun, because my only experience selling stuff them was Sandy gave me 3 like Trader Joe bags of Danielle Steele novels that she has that she knows she's never going to read again. She's like, get rid of these. So it was, I forget how many books, but it was a lot of books. They offered me 50 cents for all of it. And I'm just like, I'm insulted only in the sense that...
Costs you more to drive there.
Not even that. They can put them on the clearance rack for $1 a piece and they'll all sell.
Yeah. She's a pop.
So I'm like, so I'm bringing you like 60 or 80 books... And you're going to put them out for $1 a piece.
Were they in decent condition?
Yeah, they were fine. And I'm like, you literally are offering me 50 cents for all of them? I mean, it's just, that's an insult. I wasn't looking to get 50 cents a piece.
That's why I haven't gone yet, because I've heard that the offer is very insulting
sometimes. Yeah, but I mean, that was just flat out insulting.
But I thought, if I'm going to go there, I'm probably going to take all these books out of the bags and boards, because if I don't get, like, at least...
Right, yeah.
If I don't get $17.99... then I didn't recoup the cost of the box, the bags, and the boards.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
No, I get what you're saying.
And you
there.
Just always use the bags.
Yeah, but for me, I mean, because they don't always need boarded, you know, so I'm saving, you know, most common books are just going to get bagged, so it's not always a huge, it doesn't sway. The only time I actually decreased an offer was when they had put 2 books in each bag back to back to save space, which I completely understand. But I'm looking at it going, I'm going to have to unbag and bag every other book, and I'm going to have to do it while I'm doing it, because I can't unbag and then every other book is going
to
be bagged.
They didn't even have the DC like to flip it so that way you could see both books.
Oh, it was, so I could see both books, yes. But in order to bag them and put them in stock, I was going to have to open each one, pull one book out, bag it, tape it, put it back, you know, and just the time of processing.
I thought you meant you had to open up and look at them just to see
at them, no. It did work out in my favor once, because somebody had done it, but they hadn't done it with all of them, just with some of them, and I feel a little bit bad, but not a lot bad, and it was New Mutants, and I, going through, and it went 97, 99, well, I didn't see the 98 was in the back of the one, so I didn't pay them appropriately for a first Deadpool. But this was still before it was crazy money.
Yeah.
But it was still a case of, as I was going through to pry, I'm like, oh, wait, this one feels a little thick. And then I looked on the back and I was like, geez. So, not their fault, not my fault. I wasn't trying to get one over on them, but is what it is. But yeah, I mean, I'll buy I just bought a box of Transformers trades from a customer. I don't want Transformers trades. I don't even reorder them when I sell, but at least... You know, now I can throw these, you know, on the half-off shelf. And that's just so people know, I do buy trades back. But basically, I treat it like half-price books, and I'm going to pay about 25% of cover price and put it on the half-off shelf. So I do, it varies based on what it is. If it's something I don't think will sell, I offer less. Or if it's something I have a bunch of.
You look at condition, too, I imagine.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it's trashed, yeah, then it's not even going to sell at half-off, and it's going to be, you know, a $3 book. And sometimes, to be honest, if it's a big stack of books they bring in and there's something like that in it, I just ignore it. It's just kind of, that's a throw-in. You know, you're not getting paid for that one because it's crap.
Yeah.
So, yeehaw.
Yeehaw.
So do we want to kick Spencer out?
Let's kick Spencer out.
Spencer, you have to leave now. Fair enough. Sorry.
You don't have to leave.
Thanks for coming.
We're just going to talk about it next week.
Okay, I thought we were delaying it. Never mind. No, I thought we were delaying. Never mind then. We'll talk about it next week. Okay.
Huh? I thought we were delaying it.
I misunderstood. I'm sorry.
I thought once it became clear that he hadn't seen it, we're going to do it next week.
That's fine. We can. No, no. Because everybody in the world has talked about it. We'll give a fresh spin.
Do you think you'll have seen it by next Wednesday?
I'll try to get it. Because I'm off next Wednesday, so I'll try to watch it on Wednesday.
You'll see Christmas Day. There's nothing going on that day.
Yeah, right?
Family's overrated.
Just to go see a matinee and then.
No, it's funny. Getting married was awesome. No, we used to always do Christmas morning. We always did Christmas Day as a family growing up, and so Christmas Eve was nothing special. And my in-laws have always done Christmas Eve, so it's just cool that we go to my father-in-law's house and do Christmas Eve with the kids and everything and the whole big family, have a big dinner, and then Christmas Day is just us at home. We don't have to go anywhere, we don't have to do anything, but we open our presents, and then mm-hmm. It's just really a casual day because we don't do a big Christmas Day meal because we're all still full from the day before, and we bring home enough leftovers that we're all good. So it's a super casual day, but still fun, you know, opening presents, mm-hmm. But it's just, I just always hated having to run. It's just nice that Christmas Day is just a relaxation. What I also hated is it was up in Canada. My grandmother's was in Essex County outside Windsor, and grandma didn't have cable. This was pre-cable and stuff, and so Christmas Day always sucked, especially when I got the new computer, which was Apple IIe.
Nice.
And I'd get
I had one of those.
Yes, and I'd get a new computer game. And I'd have to wait 5 days to get home to actually play it. So I'd read the manual a lot. And I still remember one I was all excited about. I don't think I ever played because I think it got lost between Christmas and actually getting home.
Oh, that's sad.
But those just always...
That sounds like a episode of Essex County.
Yeah, it does. But it was always so... That was just so frustrating. Wow, I can't wait to play this. Or, you get an Atari game. And this is going to be so awesome when I get home. Okay, which of the three channels can we watch now, Grandma? Yeah. You know.
Well, and it's Canada, so you got hockey, or hockey.
Well,
curling.
You got all the Detroit stations. So,
okay.
But yeah, good times. At least back then we had snow, so at least it felt like Christmas.
Well, in Canada, I think. Yeah.
Canada, south of Detroit, but yeah, Canada.
Yeah.
They say there's a chance we'll have snow
on Christmas Day. I was happy about it, especially it was supposed to be 25 and snow. I'm like, sweet, because we're not going anywhere. So.
Take it.
Yeah. Well, my problem is I'd love snow before because it doesn't feel like Christmas yet. You know, a lot of people, wait, Christmas is Monday? You know, we're 5 days away and it just doesn't feel Christmassy yet.
I'll see what I can do.
Please, Dave. Work Plus, I'm a little less festive here, you know, so.
I had a friend who used to live up around here, and a couple years ago she moved down to Atlanta. And so, last week or whatever when they had, that inch of snow and everybody mm-hmm. was freaking out, I just... Because I wanted to, but, she was complaining about not having any electricity or power or anything because, people couldn't handle
but
it.
But at least you have snow.
But I just wanted to be like, it's like 50 up here.
My cousin is married to a girl from Ecuador who was born in Ecuador. They live here. They're going down to Ecuador for Christmas. How'd you like to be down there in the heat?
Yeah.
Or is it supposed to be?
Not really.
F that. Yep.
Although I think the closer you are to the equator, it kind of stays consistent. It's like Hawaii's 85 every day.
Yeah, they're in the same time zone as us. Yeah. Near the equator.
So I guess that means that's a podcast.
What? Well done, Pat. I like that. Well, Merry Christmas, everybody. we won't talk to you until not next year, but until post Christmas. One thing, next week, books regular, should be having them out for sale on Wednesday. I'm hoping they come Tuesday. I'm hoping. My concern is Tuesday, the day after Christmas is always really busy, so processing a shipment and having a really busy day is not...
Do you have special hours on Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, no, because it's Sunday. I'll be open 12 to 5 as usual. I'll probably actually be open earlier. I'll probably come in around 10. Okay. But it'll be fun because Tim will be here. Normally, I'm by myself on Christmas Eve. So it's Tim's regular day, and I'll come here and help him out. And it's fun because we go to my in-laws for dinner. There's no rush, and the family normally comes by and picks me up about 5. We get down there by 6. It's always fun because Christmas Eve, normally, it's, like, really busy until about 3, and then it totally dies. And then most times it's like, oh, great, you know, it's dead, and I'm sitting here with nothing to do, and I'll sit and read. Right, you know, with Tim.
Watch Columbo.
That's a good plan. I felt bad today. I forgot to bring in Elf and Christmas Vacation that I normally always have here playing, so I didn't have anything Christmassy to have on the TV.
I believe Die Hard is on Netflix or Amazon, and Gremlins is on the other one.
Yeah.
Die Hard's not really appropriate in the store. It's appropriate, but the language is not what I can really play here in the store.
Die Hard is the best Christmas movie.
It is. And Gremlins, I could do, but Gremlins freaked me out. That was a date movie. That did not go well.
Didn't go well for you?
Right. Well, yeah, for me. He was scared to get away. Had nothing to do with the movie. Also chose Red Dawn as a date movie. That didn't go well either.
First movie rated PG-13.
First movie released rated PG-13, ooh. Yeah. Because they actually changed the rating of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom while it was in theaters.
Okay. So, Pat, would you say it again since we kind of rambled on past the...
That's a podcast.
Okay, we will talk to you next week. Ho, 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 Merry Christmas. Watch for Dave sneaking down your chimney.